What's happening, RSL Nation? It's your boys Adele and the Baker back with another episode of the Scarf Life Podcast. The Baker, how you doing, homeboy?
I'm hanging in there, man. I was thinking about how I was going to answer that question, because obviously you're going to ask me how I'm doing, because you're a civilized human being. It's been rough. It's been a rough month. It feels like it's been a month since the last RSL game. I know it hasn't.
I'll wait till I tell you when the next game is.
Yeah, it's probably going to be like February or something. Luckily, we do have some Major League Soccer and other soccer to keep us going. But I am like already, I'm just like itching for like anything that resembles. I would go so far as say that I look for more RSL content and RSL information in the off season. Then, because like during the regular season, it's just like there's a game this weekend. There's a game this weekend. I have my ticket. I will be at the stadium. Everything's fine.
Yeah.
I don't have any. Like my Flash Seats account is empty. There's nothing there. You know.
It hurts.
It does hurt. So like, there's this void that needs to.
They keep taking out of my bank account for next year. Apparently,
getting paid. The Loy Hansen needs that new shiny penny. Needs that dime. No man. Like I'm like. We're addicts. I'm currently going through withdrawal. I'm a fiend. It's not good, I guess, is what I'm really trying to say.
Well, it's not good, yes. And we have a few months left of this. However,
yeah,
you're absolutely correct in saying that we're going to have a lot of... It is not going to be an uneventful off-season this year.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that we... still don't know who our GM is, and like
coach number nine.
We
don't know if certain players are re-signing with us.
The reason I started off with GM, because I'm you do this and then you do that, and like I'm a step by step kind of guy,
right?
And so like, so if there's like no acting GM, you know, if the assistant is doing it or whatever, like who's having the negotiations,
if we don't know who the boss is,
right? Like who right now is talking to Bofo about his contract? Is it Deloy? I hope it's not Deloy Hansen.
I got Wednesday morning free if they need me.
But like that's why I started with GM. Like it's already been too long.
So RSL Nation, what we're gonna do today is a couple of things. We always have grandiose ideas about the podcast we're going to do. And we have some good ideas, I think, for the off season.
Yeah.
We want to do an awards show.
Mm-hmm. And not like team awards, like our awards.
Our awards, yeah, as we see it.
Yep.
So, covering major accomplishments.
Just because the reason I clear that up is because the team awards were just released, I think, like yesterday or today.
Oh, were they?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I'm not even going to look. I don't want to get influenced by them.
We should mention it.
Yeah. We're gonna do like a season recap. God, it's been an eventful season. We're gonna do, we want to spend an episode talking about something like, the greatest goalkeeper of all times in Major League Soccer history. Lots of different things we can talk about during the off season that include recapping the last season, but this is not that episode. What we're talking about here is just what's happening lately. So we will not dive into too many details on much. The Major League Soccer season is still underway. We just, as a league, finalized and determined the final.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, MLS technically Cup the final. Regular season's still on. Not regular season, but like the
MLS season. Is still on.
Yeah, it's still being played. And I mean, I think that's what's kind of helping with the off-season blues for RSL, is we've had some really good soccer these last 2 days.
MLS, gonna MLS.
Yeah, man.
So let's talk about what's happening in the league.
You want to start with the LAFC game?
LAFC, a seemingly unbeatable team throughout the season, though they have looked a little flaky towards the end of it, hosts the Seattle Sounders at home and loses handsomely, if I may.
Yeah, Seattle was like just like the better team for long stretches of time.
I would say that LAFC missed more good chances than Seattle. But I would say Seattle does not deserve. It's not like Seattle walked in there and like completely won that game against.
Yeah, like bunkered
the run of play.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. MLS gonna MLS. This is the beauty
right.
of the playoff format. I've mentioned this before. Actually, I tried to make a statement on Twitter like a month ago, a couple of weeks ago, whatever. And I said the playoff system is a better method to determine the champion of a league than the go-to standardized, basically European, mostly European, and most of the rest of the world.
Yeah. If you ignore like Champions League and stuff,
table format. Like, I'm not talking about international tournaments.
Right.
Because that was actually one of the points I had in mind. If you look at international tournaments, the ones we love, the Euro Cup, the CONCACAF Champions League, the South American Championship.
It's a bracket. It's your standard groups, then brackets.
And then it comes down to a playoff format.
Mm-hmm.
There's a reason for that. It's more exciting. It's better. You get it out of the way. So let me say it this way. If the MLS were to adapt or conform to the European system of a simple standard table.
Yeah, it's basically what we call the supporter shield is their champion.
By the month of...
Yeah, it would have been early.
In our case, I'm talking about like RSL having a chance to win the league.
Mm-hmm.
Early July? Late June? Mid-June?
Yeah. It's one of those things you need, like, you need promotion and relegation to make it exciting. And you need other stories.
But here's the thing. We were not bad enough to be considered for, relegation.
Right.
And we were at that point not good enough to be considered for the championship.
But I mean, like, you need, like, so, like, I look at, like, the English Premier League, and it's like, you need, like, okay, who's going to go back into Europe? You know, who's... You need those, like, additional storylines of, like, qualification and you need more stuff. Just to be clear, I think I and most of RSL Nation, from what I've read on the Facebook and the old Twitter, agrees with what you're saying. Especially this, like...
I was surprised.
This single elimination playoff has been so exciting to watch.
It's been bananas. I love it.
The only place where I actually just read a tweet right before we hopped on. I'm assuming it's an LAFC fan, and it's like, stars above the crest should be reserved for supporter shields. That's the champion. The playoffs are just something like Americanized, and it is a very American way to do sports.
Mm-hmm.
But like, also let's acknowledge it. It's so damn exciting. So damn exciting.
Let me say it this way. It is. I'm not in favor of it because it's the American way of doing things.
Yeah, your accent kind of gave that one away.
I am in
Stalin.
Favor of it because it is better.
Yes, it's good TV.
It is very good TV.
Mm-hmm.
And it's more entertaining. But it goes beyond that. Last day of the regular season, 14 teams, thus 14 fan bases.
Right.
Can still believe they have a chance to win the ultimate prize in our league.
Right.
I challenge anyone to present me evidence of that being the case in any other league in the world.
Well, there are other leagues that have playoffs.
That doesn't have playoffs.
Right, okay.
If you ever let me finish
a
sentence.
Well, you take so long, man. So like, get to the point.
I'm building. It's a dramatic
But it's not dramatic.
Up.
It's dramatic. Like everyone knows. It's obvious.
So the reason I bring this up in this method and format is because when most people, not all, when most people think about what soccer should be or how a soccer league shall be conducted, you're thinking of big five in Europe.
Yeah, I mean, that's what right? I think that, and they're the big five because they're the big five type of thing. It's like a circular argument.
Yes. And the most exciting finish in any of the big five leagues in the past decade I can think of was that one match day where Manchester United was playing an away game and Manchester City was playing a home game, and it literally took two goals in overtime by Manchester City to win the Premier League that year. We have that every year, every single year. Next 2 weeks from now, one and a half weeks from now, there will be an MLS Cup final.
Yep.
And we have no idea who's going to win. We never know who's going to win the MLS Cup until the very, very, very last day of the season. And the very last day of the regular season, 14 teams with the current format.
Right.
That should be an asterisk there.
Probably is going to change.
Probably.
This time next year.
Is still have a chance to win. I think that is more exciting.
Right.
Drastically and significantly more exciting. Now, does that mean the best team from throughout the year wins it?
Here's what I think. I think it does. Here's what I... Because, so like, best is pretty subjective, right?
Yeah.
It's like, what is best? Like, and like, the argument, I think, is like, so LAFC obviously deserves the Supporters Shield, and like, being the better team for a long season is indicative of a good team.
Yeah.
But then, like, also the ability to show up for really big games. Like, this, like, that is a thing that matters. So, you know, that needs to go into consideration for quote-unquote best team.
Yeah.
And I think the reason we're on the, to take kind of back to the original starting point, is if you've been like living under a rock, Seattle went to LA, mm-hmm. put on a beautiful performance and upset the team that, I think, if we're going to be honest, like 90% of fans across the league were like, yeah, these guys are obviously champions this year.
They're Dude. Obviously not champions, but they are obviously the best.
They were the team. heavy favorites.
They're the best team in the league this year, overall.
Right, but they're also not.
If you're judging over 35 games or whatever they played, 36 right. games.
So but you, okay,
that doesn't matter.
You all right? So I would say it's kind of like when Real Salt Lake was it last year? Yeah, like the LA Galaxy thing, they fall apart, and you know we kind of fell ass back into the playoffs. And everyone was like, RSL didn't deserve to be in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Right. It's like to me, the best team in MLS is the team that raises the cup.
So in the MLS, what we're saying is this. Your regular season performance sets you up in the postseason to have most of the advantages to prove to be the best team. The best team in our cases, and this is, again, this is an American thing, or maybe a playoff mind-oriented thing. Let's face it, that is an American thing,
mm-hmm.
and I love it.
Right.
It's the combination of you did well enough throughout the season to mm-hmm. set yourself up to make your own luck in the postseason.
Right. You get that first bye.
Get the first bye, you get the home games. Right. Hell, you get to make the playoffs to start with.
Right. Right. Yeah.
Right.
Can't win the playoffs if you're not in the playoffs.
Right.
Right.
But what we're saying is, yes, that is important. What is also important is performing under pressure.
Right.
In the playoffs.
Cough, cough, Vela. Cough, cough.
He had an okay game. Anyways.
Yeah, I mean, I think Seattle just took him out of the equation.
It's a long rift and talk about nothing there, but
no, yes, I mean, we kind of talked about the format.
So, anyways, LAFC,
Rui Diaz.
LAFC is out,
yeah. That I mean,
and then their fans threw a lot of beer on the field.
That did happen again, you know. You can't make a leopard change its spot.
Spots. I want to like those guys.
There are a few of them. I haven't, but I know you've done a podcast with like Heart of LAFC.
Awesome, awesome.
Yeah, seems like a lovely human.
Yeah.
But so I've used this example before, and I keep going back to it. RSL has its idiots, right?
Yeah.
Toronto has its idiots. Seattle has
Wasn't a guy at the Royals game just suspended for like racial slurs?
Yeah, it was like a bunch of 14-year-olds, I think, throwing around the N-word.
And some other guy like was throwing up the Betsy Ross flag or something.
All kinds.
Every group has their idiots. Yes.
Right. So, I mean, NYCFC has actual Nazis.
Yeah.
But, like, the way I look at, you know, the old LAFC group, it's like they've exceeded the allowable quota.
Yeah.
Like they're, it's not just one or two. It's systematic. And that's where I get, like, upset. It's, like, the quote-unquote good civilized human beings who are active members of society, it is their job to point those people out and make sure that they do not feel welcome. It is.
To their credit, they try. From what I have seen, they try.
I Not like after the fact, not on Twitter, not like you right then and there.
All I'm saying is, look, it's still happening.
Yeah, it's obviously still happening.
But it would be like, it would be like someone going on the air and attacking us over those morons throwing out those racial slurs at the Royals game.
Okay, but here's a better example. What I am critiquing is I can't control what the person next to me says, right?
Right.
Can't do it. But if they say something that I'm like, that, you know, someone in authority needs to know and remove that person, I am then going to make sure. That's the part where I feel like they're not following up.
Yeah.
Also,
you and I will disagree on that part. I think there are, let's say it this way. You're right. There should be something like an allowable quota for idiots in your group.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you have 10 close friends.
You got one dumbass.
Yeah, everyone has that one or two dumbasses.
Right.
But if your friends, 10 friend group consists of like six dumbasses.
You got a problem.
You're the dumbass.
Right, for associating with
you're
them.
You're associating with a lot of dumbasses. So
right.
I get that. At the same time, I refuse to believe. And there's also something to that mob mentality.
Yeah,
like
of course,
guy
dude.
To the left of me did it.
I'm
say that
do
because
it.
You usually stand left of
I
me.
I usually stand right of you.
At the good games, you stand on the left.
The game we beat Portland, I was on your right.
Okay, that one game.
So.
I get what you're saying. I'm not going to go as far as to like hold most of LAFC Nation, if there is such a thing, LAFC fans accountable for the actions of a few idiots, though.
But it's not a few idiots.
It was beyond a few idiots.
It's a mostly idiots at this point.
But then remember.
All right. Okay.
Remember us? What was that 2, 3, 4 years ago? When at the end of the game, we basically, I didn't throw anything, but we showered the field with
streamers.
Projectiles. No, it wasn't streamers. It was at the end
of
the
game.
I
don't remember this.
Oh, we have to go. I'm gonna have to go dig in. You were there. We were in 35 by then.
Okay.
So it wasn't like that long ago.
Right.
It was within the past 3 or 4 years. How long have we been sitting there?
Right.
And at the end of the game, where it was a really bad. It was a regular season game. It was about the officials.
Right. Usually
yeah.
is.
Yeah. And we showered the field with all sorts of projectiles.
Huh.
Beers, cans.
I literally don't remember this.
Yeah. Well, it shouldn't be that hard to find, so we can look into it. At the end of the day, when you look at what happened, is it was like one idiot who decided to throw something out there.
Right.
Hell, if I threw something out on the field, every 20th time I felt like doing it, I would be throwing about 10 things a game on the field, right? Everyone wants to do it.
Right. So, like, the most recent example.
Most people don't do it.
The most recent example that comes to my mind is homie that sat in front of us in 35. I want to say it was, like, last year.
Yeah.
Threw a streamer.
Yeah.
It, like, landed in front of an official.
No, it hit the official.
Did it? Yeah. I remember it got, like, it got really close. Like, it was at an official. It was at the assistant.
It was a piece of paper. Yeah.
It was streamers. It was back when streamers were still allowed. Yeah. They like reviewed the cameras. Security came, found him, and he wasn't invited back.
For like,
yeah. Then he went and bought
a few games,
right? But
like
I don't know if like he actively was like sought out, reprimanded, and removed.
Yeah,
it was very clear. Like, hey, this isn't okay. That's the last time I see it. I saw it at.
That is a good comparison. Tinto. But here's the thing: we don't know that LAFC is not doing that.
So. If this was the first time, I would get that.
That is where you got me. I cannot defend that. I'm not trying to defend any
of it. But here's also the problem. Like, if they were just like, hey, we're bad people, and we acknowledge that we're bad people, like, here's my and I tweeted something along the lines of this. It's really, really, really easy to be the fun, cool, hip guy that everybody loves when you're winning every game.
Yeah.
It's really easy to be super chill when everything is going your way.
Well, that's how God made Atlanta United fans.
So, like, then I think their true character comes out in those situations when they're losing at home. So, like, to me, I go back to the Raimondo thing when they were like last year,
yeah.
And they're like, hey, our bad. Here's a couple beers. Here, let's take a picture for Twitter. Let's post it.
Yeah.
To me, that was like their attempt to get back at like a level playing field. I was like, cool. To me now, that's just like, oh, you have a good social media dude. You have somebody there.
Well,
that no longer feels genuine.
No, it's beyond genuine. So take it. No, there is something genuine about it, but the genuineness, that's a word, I guess, is that it is. It's an effed up group of people,
mm-hmm.
at least the diehards, that travel. Because remember what happened in Rio Tinto this year?
Beer throwing, spitting, flipping. Yeah, yeah.
And that wasn't the first time that happened.
Right.
Then you got the Raimondo thing, you got this thing. Yeah, there's definitely... Oh, look, if you're a data guy,
mm-hmm.
and you only need so many pieces of data to like... Match up at some point, it's a trend. There's a pattern here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
There's that.
Right.
There's that. So I would say if you have to pick a group in the league to like fit that, but yeah, that's them.
Right.
I get it. What I'm saying is we shouldn't look at the entire fan base as a result of that. And I would extend that to every other fan base in the league. And I would hope that every other fan base in the league extends it to us. Look, man, if you look at some interviews from players and former players, one of the toughest places to play in the league is Rio Tinto Stadium, and it's mm-hmm. not because it's like super loud or it is high up in the mountain, so there's the elevation, but there's also heckling. And whether it's politically correct or not is beyond the question here.
Yeah, so I mean, I think it's one of those things you know when you know.
Right. But I do agree with you on one thing. If I'm sitting in 35, row H, and the guy in front of me, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, doesn't matter how many rows, is like throwing beer on the field.
Right.
Or screaming profanities.
In excess.
I'm not going to say profanity, but I'm going to say like, offensive language like racial slurs,
right,
or homophobic slurs, mm-hmm. or I don't know, sexual slurs.
You know when you hear it. Yeah,
I'm gonna say something,
right? And here's the thing, it's not even like you're gonna say something, it's everyone, 20 yeah, other people yes. are gonna say, like, you gotta get a ticket. It's gonna be a line.
I don't think they have that check and balances
right
thing there, and it could be that that's still young.
I think there's something to be said for that, because I remember when NYCFC, when they were like the new hot thing, you know,
yeah,
and they were still like possibly getting an actual real stadium to play in, when they were the hot young thing, like a bunch of morons, like, got on the subway and like stole like a dad's scarf who like went to like a Red Bulls, and it was like dude, guys, I get it, I have a Netflix account too. Green Street Hooligans is a fantastic movie, but like. You're embarrassing not just yourselves, but like your friends, your community, the sport. It's just like,
plus,
it's,
like, what point are you making? Like, me and 17 of my friends,
right,
just bullied this one guy with his kid. Like,
yeah, they posted it. It was just like, it was so dumb. It was just dumb. Anyway, so there, to get to what you're saying, it's like, I agree. I think there's some of that is like youth. You like. Losing.
Not youth of the fan base.
Right, youth of as a it, like youth of
lack
the organization.
Of maturity,
yes.
As, yeah.
Right, like been there, done that type of thing. But I also think it's like cultural, where it is okay to just be the kind of guy, you know, like there is, like, as a community, they are okay for the most part. There are exceptions. I'm not trying to lump everybody together. But for the most part, as a community, they're okay with their behavior.
By they, you mean LAFC mm-hmm. fan base. Yeah,
right.
I disagree with that statement. I would say as a community of LAFC supporters, mm-hmm. having followed and read and talked to a lot of the people on that side,
right?
I would say as a community, because you have to draw a line, like what percentage of the community being okay with it. Sure. Can you say the community is okay with it?
Right.
The communities within the community that I have seen
right.
are not okay with any of it.
So here, and, here, and here's, I think, where you and I beef. Let
me rephrase and add to it. I'm yet to find a community within that community.
Right.
And we, as RSL fan base, know about communities within communities more than anyone else, right? We are,
every seat's a supporters group.
We literally might have 20,000 supporter groups in that stadium. Right. So everyone's a community. I am yet to see, and I might be wrong, I personally am yet to see anyone even passively, aggressively supporting that behavior from that group.
Right. And here's...
I get it.
So here's the key difference. Stop
them and shoot them and call the cops on them.
Right.
There's a difference between doing that and we don't know whether they are or are not.
Sure.
Like if
yeah, LA is a big city. Maybe it's a new asshole every time.
If homeboy like three rows ahead of us is doing some homophobic slurs, I don't think I'm going on KUTV news and like I am the one that called the cops.
Right.
Right. So we don't know that.
Sure.
You might be absolutely correct. What I'm saying is we shall not, if at all possible, fill the gaps with assholeness because there is a lack of other information. That's all I'm saying.
Right. And I guess to me it goes back to the Raimondo photo op is what I'm calling it. I think they got a bunch of people who know what the right thing to say is.
The front office does.
No. Just like people on Twitter. I think they have a lot of people who are like, oh, not cool, guys. Don't disrespect our club. You know, I think you have a lot of dudes who are great at talking about being positive. But I think you have very few people when it's, you know, ass and seat time in the trenches. Let's go actually make change happen. Who are raising their hands and going, we can't be that group.
You're absolutely correct. But I would also say that's not an LAFC or LA specific problem.
That's a human trait. Yeah, it's someone else's problem always.
Everyone, it's so much easier to talk the talk.
Yeah, absolutely. And ultimately we're lucky that for the most part Real Salt Lake, I mean, don't get us wrong, we're a bunch of jerks, but I don't know, man.
Look, the moral of the story is this: don't be those guys, those specific group of guys.
Right. Or gals.
I mean, by guys.
Yeah, I know.
By guys, I mean people.
Folks.
And let's hold each other accountable. That is not acceptable. God, I don't know if anyone likes losing less than I do.
Right.
I have literally, in the past, gotten into a fist fight, a proper fist fight where blood was drawn over an offside call.
Well, that seems dumb.
Yeah.
Have you tried not being dumb?
I attempted every day. I fail most days. So, long story longer, LAFC is not going to win the cup this year. They're out. Seattle is moving on. And then we just watched a little bit of
East
Toronto playing at Atlanta.
It's Toronto, the Wild Wild East.
Toronto winning that game. You know what the effed up thing is? Toronto was the only team by the time we were about to face Seattle from the East.
Right.
That could have come through.
That we would have hosted.
That would have seen us host the MLS Cup.
Yeah, yeah. It.
And I remember looking at those four teams and like, there's no way Toronto actually, you know. I thought there was a smaller chance Toronto makes it out of the East than we make it out of the West.
Right.
Here we are.
For me, now that you mention it, it's one of those things where it's like, if I was like, if I had all the power in the universe and I controlled what happened and when it happened, this is exactly how I would have like written it out, except replace us with Seattle, obviously. Everything was in my mind was how I envisioned us winning the cup this year.
Yeah.
Close, at home.
Close, ugly win at Seattle.
Right.
And then surprising win at LAFC because they're walking into it way overconfident.
We host Toronto. I was like, LA Galaxy is going to beat LAFC.
Yeah.
But it would be us. It would be us in Toronto. We'd host them and, you know, 0-9 all over again.
And it didn't happen.
Obviously.
So here we are. Toronto is going to travel to Seattle for the MLS Cup. Should we talk about that for a second? I am extremely happy personally.
Right.
That there is not an Atlanta United versus Seattle Sounders final.
Yeah, and this is I think where you and I disagree slightly. We can get into that.
Yeah. So my take is I hate them both. And if it's Atlanta versus Seattle,
mm-hmm.
I would love to be the kind of guy that says, I might not watch that cup final. No, screw that. I'm going to watch it.
Right.
But I'm going to hate every second of it.
Right.
And I'm going to root for like
an fire drill.
Eternal. Yeah. 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 Someone pulls the fire alarm at the stadium.
Right.
And the game never finishes.
I'm rooting for a fire drill.
And we're not crowning a champion this year. Of course, what that's going to mean is that Seattle fans are going to claim they invented the fire drill.
Hmm.
Right. Because they invented soccer. Yeah.
Right.
Right. So
supporters culture.
And then Atlanta is, in my opinion, still the most annoying fan base in Major League Soccer.
I think this year has made them a little they've been served a couple helpings of humble pie.
They have competitors.
Yeah, they've.
But they're still the champions, in my opinion.
Yeah. I see what you're saying.
Championship of the most annoying fan base in all of the league. LAFC is getting there.
Uh-huh.
Seattle has always been there.
Yeah.
Portland has been there.
SKC.
SKC is not annoying.
I just hate them. Yeah. Yeah. I'm picking up the distinction here.
And I would say, God forbid Orlando ever becomes good, they might be up there too.
Really?
Yeah.
For me, they're just, they have like too much of like a woe unto us.
Yeah.
Everyone hates us. They're
Orlando City FC is the perfect team of, it's like an A-B test.
I think it's Orlando City SC.
All right. So Orlando is like, it's perfectly set up for an A-B test.
Mm-hmm.
We have seen them as the hot young new thing.
Right.
Like, what was that, 3 years ago?
Yeah, when they were like filling the stadium.
Yeah,
and
packed stadium.
They didn't make the playoffs.
They weren't good.
Right.
But it was exciting. Right,
marketing and painting the wall and yeah.
And then followed up by a couple of years of just sucking, right? And the stadium was like, I don't know, 15, 20% capacity.
Yeah, now it's just like empty.
And I want to see what happens if they're actually good ever again. Because you know what's going to happen. It's like everyone comes out of the woodwork.
I was an OG.
I have forever been an Orlando City fan.
Right.
And so there's that. Here's what excites me. I don't like Toronto.
Right.
Matter of fact, there's absolutely nobody in this entire league other than my team that I like. I don't like anyone else.
Varying levels of like, I'll tolerate you. From none.
I was gonna reverse it to like levels of hate. There's no one I like.
There are just teams I tolerate.
I will tell you one thing. Houston is kind of making their way up to like, eh.
Right, just because they keep bailing us out on decision day.
I might get like a hoodie.
Right.
Or a scarf. Not a scarf. Let's not push it.
DeMarcus Beasley jersey. That's
like,
about it.
Yeah. And I think most RSL Nation would understand why I would do that.
Yeah, yeah.
But no one else. I hate. Actually, I know hate's a strong word.
Hmm.
I properly hate everybody else in this league.
Yeah.
Toronto City FC? Toronto FC? What's their official name? I don't know. Toronto.
Yeah.
In the last couple of years, is one of the least hated, thus most neutral in my mind, teams in the league.
Toronto FC.
If it was Atlanta versus Seattle, again, I would be rooting for no harm,
mm-hmm.
but an earthquake.
Right, like a small, localized...
Just evacuate the stadium, precautionary.
And
never continue it.
Right.
As is Toronto versus Seattle...
You have a dog in the fight?
I have... There's clearly a dog I hate a lot more than the other dog in this fight, yes.
Good way to put it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I'm excited. I think the chances of Seattle winning the cup now are much higher than if
I would be shocked
advanced.
If they don't win.
But yeah, I am all in on Toronto. And you know what else I don't understand? Hey man, we need the Western Conference team to win it. Like,
no.
Who the fuck? Who
no.
gives a
No. Always.
When has this become a yeah. conference's thing?
So when, and this is the part where I'll go ahead and, I think I've admitted this on air before, so I have no problem saying it again. Champions League, when it's like MLS is like, you know, one of the teams.
Oh, mm-hmm.
And I get it. Liga MX fans are so annoying. But like, I don't, like, if RSL wasn't going to be the first team to do it, I don't want any MLS team doing it. I'm actively rooting for the Mexican teams.
Ooh, I disagree with that.
Actively. Yeah, I understand that that's not a popular opinion, but it's like, you got to represent the league. I'm like, I don't care about the league. I actually think the league's kind of being run like garbage. There is one dog I have in this race. That's it.
I get what you're saying. I disagree with you on that level.
Because of how annoying the Liga MX fans are? Because yeah. they like, the second a Liga MX team wins, all over Facebook.
Yep.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah. Speaking of annoying fans, it does not get much more annoying as a fan base than Emerald City supporters group. I hate everything about that collective group of humans. Individually, met a few lovely ones.
Yeah.
I've spent a lot of time in Flounders country.
Nice people.
Nice.
Individually.
Individual human beings. They all get together in a room and they just become real punchable.
There's an equation there. It's
yeah. Like, it's like more than three.
I was
and then
say,
like the
like
rate
than, yeah.
of punchability increases. Definitely.
The punchability rate equals the number.
Count to the third.
It's like equal or greater than three Sounders fans right. in a room equals punchability drastically increased.
Yeah, it's like PA equals N plus three.
I don't something. Know what that means.
Punchability, PA. And it's just the count, and then so it's your three.
Cute.
Yeah.
That's
anyway,
cute.
Hey, it's what I do. I actually think it's not right if we break it down, but that doesn't matter. like, I just can't stand them. And here's the thing.
Yeah.
I hate Atlanta fans. But to me, yep. Atlanta fans, like, I see them once a year. They're super annoying. They stuff all the ballot boxes. But, like, Seattle was doing that before. It was cool. Like, I pray that no team or that any team gets a supporter shield before Seattle does. Because the year they won the supporter shield, there was, like, 15 articles about how that's the championship everywhere else in the world. I just can't stand them. And to me, the best opportunity for them to lose was to travel away to Atlanta. They will now be hosting Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't see them losing it in the clink.
Couple of things. So yes, I agree on many of those things. I think they're some of the most annoying fans in the world. I disagree that they're more annoying than Atlanta. If nothing else, I'll tell you one thing. I think a lot of those people have some skin in the game. Like, they will have been around and into it for a little longer than most Atlanta fans. So there's that. Secondly,
right. I'm picking. I see what you're saying. The history.
Like, if you have to pick between the two,
mm-hmm.
it's like picking between Adolf Hitler and the devil, right? You have to pick one. I'm not picking one right now because someone's gonna get offended either way.
I was gonna say that's a horrible example to
right,
use on air,
but
all right, keep going.
I mean, it's the same to me as like picking between Atlanta fans and Seattle fans.
Because right.
in my book, LAFC fans are not there yet.
Wow.
Not. I mean, they're probably the most annoying fans right now, but they're similar to like LA Galaxy fans where I'm like, I know you'll be gone in a couple of years. You know what I mean?
Right. I got you.
No, you know, a group I actually have proper respect for? Toronto fans.
Hmm.
Portland fans.
What's left of Colorado fans?
Thank you. I was actually going to say that. Colorado fans. Dallas fans.
Mm.
The people who show up to Houston games.
Yeah.
I have proper respect for.
Cincinnati. Cincinnati's takes the cake.
No, too early.
No, because those dudes were like, still, we just want, like, they have some USL history there that I was like, that's kind of dope.
Okay. Yeah. No, okay. Yeah. But I'm not talking about, like, the filled stadiums now, right? Give it a couple of years. It all needs a few years. It needs some bad years.
Oh,
Cincinnati is lucky enough.
They're started.
Cincinnati is lucky enough to have started on a bad leg to start with, right?
Yeah.
So that I would love to talk to the six people.
Mm-hmm.
Who attended every single FC Dallas game last year.
Right.
Even better. who are the three people who attended every single Colorado Rapids game last year.
Yeah.
That's my people.
That's scarf life.
That's my people, man.
Yeah.
It's easy to be an LAFC fan.
Right. Because if things don't go your way, you just throw garbage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to talk to the people who stuck with New York Red Bulls after the introduction of NYCFC.
Right.
I want to talk to it's going to hurt. I want to talk to LA Galaxy fans who stuck with LA Galaxy.
Yeah, through this year.
Through this year.
And there aren't that many of them left per that video of that chick. She forgot which LA team she was chanting for halfway through.
From my personal perspective, I don't understand any of that. I do not understand the mentality of switching teams.
No, where we're from, you get shot for that kind of thing.
I have never in my life switched teams. Like, it's like a tattoo. Right. Once you're in, you're in.
You picked it.
You can add to it.
Right.
But it's not like, oh, you know what? I'm also going to be a Seattle fan. No, jackass, you don't get to do that. Mm. You're born into it or you choose it. But once you chose it, it's like a prison gang.
Right.
Right.
There's only one way out. It's in a body bag.
Once you have chosen it, it's yours. So I don't understand it.
Sure.
Like, I do not understand Utah Jazz.
Mm.
I've been a Utah Jazz fan since, and I'm sure by now RSL Nation understands I'm not born and raised in Utah.
Yeah, the way you say your letters, so I give that away. I was going to pick one specifically, but I'm like, no, just A through Z.
Here's a fun fact. I was a Utah Jazz fan before I knew where Utah was.
I mean, I think,
yet alone what Salt Lake City was.
So just to piggyback off that, with the public education system, what it is, most Utah Jazz fans don't know where Utah is.
Okay,
so
screw you, first of all. Second of all, I lived overseas, and it was a really good educational system.
Right.
But it was like, anyways, that's not the point. Like,
pay our teachers.
I do not understand switching teams. Having said that, I understand that most people understand that logic, and I know a couple of people that live in LA and work in LA from a professional approach, Galaxy fans,
right?
Who were like, well, suddenly the LAFC stadium is significantly closer to my house.
Right, it's more fun.
Well, this was before they played the first game. We didn't know what it was actually going to look like.
Okay.
And we might switch allegiances.
Because it's closer?
Yeah.
Well, all right.
No, literally, that's what it was. It was close. Geographical approach, geography. That's all it was at play there.
I mean, I guess it's some kind of logic.
Yeah.
Real Salt Lake could become Real Calcutta. That's my boys.
Yeah, anyways.
I'm not sure
how we got here. So
what we were talking about.
We get into
the lesser of two evils.
Scarf life. So lesser of two evils. In my mind, in my opinion, this is Adele speaking, in case anyone's wondering, there is no delusion about whom I want to win MLS Cup. It is Toronto.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Through and through, I don't like them. I don't like anyone.
Right. No one's left that I support.
There was never anyone left once
I would have been a little bit okay if Philadelphia. If it wasn't RSL and I could...
But because they aren't. If they were here, I'd be like...
Yeah, you're probably right. You're probably right.
Yeah. I mean, Philly is one of those neutral teams where I'm like, I like their grittiness, you know?
And the whole, like, Sons of Ben thing.
Speaking of Scarf Life, I mean, geez, those guys play in front of a half-empty stadium most of the year. Have you been to Philadelphia Stadium?
No.
Okay, so I've been to Philly.
Right.
And I was there on a weekend when there was an MLS game, not an RSL game.
They were playing somebody else. Yeah.
And I inquired how to get to the stadium with three people. Two of those people said, you might get shot on your way there.
There it is.
So, I mean, their stadium is like in the middle of, well, not in the middle of nowhere, but like in a really bad
area. Down energy.
Yeah. And so...
Right on the water, right on the bay.
Yeah. But just, it was going to be, and I was in downtown Philly, and it was going to be, I think, one train ride, so like a subway ride, and then two different bus connections, or something like that. Or I could have taken a cab, which was going to cost me like $90. And yeah, but everyone said...
Yeah, they're way out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, those people that come out to those games, Scarf Life, brah.
Right.
Brah and sister, that's Scarf Life. I like those people. You're right. Mm. But other than these two teams left, there's no, like, delusion of me. I want Toronto to win it.
Right.
Not because I like Toronto, but
you hate them less than Seattle.
Significantly.
Right. I can get I can get behind that. I would agree with that.
I would actually be okay with Toronto.
I think if Seattle wins it, I would be kind of like, I would think about it for a while. If Toronto wins it, I'd be like, oh, good for them. And then, like, I'd forget about it, like, 20 minutes later. That's how I view that.
Yeah, it's like, oh, shit, didn't Toronto win the NBA championship last year, too?
Did they?
Yeah, it was the Raptors. I might take everything back.
No, see, that's
so you know what happens if they win it. Then
Sports
they're like,
City, Canada.
Yeah.
I would say Sports City, USA, but.
City of Champions.
That's fine. Let them have it. They're Canadian, for crying out loud.
I would still actually, now that I'm thinking about that right now, I would still rather have that than having to put up with annoying Seattle fans.
All year
next right. year.
Plus Toronto, once again, assuming the format doesn't change next year, we see them once. It'll probably be like a Wednesday game, and they're like four of their supporters show up.
Yeah.
Versus Seattle, which we multiple times, you know, throughout the year.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's kind of the stance of the league in a nutshell. I think it's worth getting into a little two things of RSL news specifically.
Let's do it.
RSL Nation got really, really excited about. And the first one is obviously we are missing, not missing. We're currently looking for a GM and head coach position to be filled.
We think we're looking. We don't know that.
Right.
We know we need some.
As far as we know, someone should be hiring one of those two or a person to do both of those, which
and we
I
really
don't want to discuss.
Hope it's on somebody's to-do list.
Right. And a name that's, you know, near and dear to all of us in RSL Nation was floated as a potential, you know, interview candidate. And that's Jason Kreis. For those of you who are, I guess, new to RSL Nation, he's the guy whose name is up next to Javi Mose. kind of a big deal, both on the field as a player, but more importantly, as RSL, one of RSL's, I think it's safe to say RSL's best head coach, you know, as far as like tenure goes.
Well, let's say it this way.
Most successful.
Jason Kreis was the first name ever signed to a contract to Real Salt Lake.
Mm-hmm.
Jason Kreis was the first, scored the very first goal in the history of Real Salt Lake. Jason Kreis was the head coach when we won our very first, to date only, MLS championship. Jason Kreis is RSL.
Yeah. Well, not me. At one point in time, he was the man that was RSL.
If you're doing a Mount Rushmore, and I know we have talked about this quite a bit over the past few months, like creepingly too much, I think. Jason Kreis is, in my opinion, without a doubt, the number one name in Real Salt Lake history. That includes Nick and Kyle.
Sure.
And
he's a godfather.
He's the godfather,
right.
Not a. Like, he is, out of all the, if you're building those four statues in the four corners.
First one.
Yeah, but it's not even like.
Not up for debate.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I think everyone.
If you're building one statue, it's Jason Kreis.
Yeah. I mean, he's already got the name in the rafter, so no need to double down. Yeah. But yeah. That was
having
more of a clarification.
Having said that.
Mm-hmm.
So let's get. I mean, I think we can tackle these two things at the same time.
I mean, so straight up, it was being reported by. What's the name of that website? It's the pay to play model that you hate.
The Athletic.
The Athletic. That he was interviewing.
I don't hate, by the way.
Right, you're critical of that model.
I'm not going to subscribe. Respect. I'm just going to subscribe to it.
Sure. And it was that he was interviewing for what appears to be a combined GM head coach role, which is something like I initially was like, I proposed like here, like we talked about it, and I was like, I think it's a fantastic way to get like a level of coach/GM that normally wouldn't be interested in a club like RSL, being like, hey, dude, full control. You build the roster. You run the organization.
Yeah.
You coach the tactics. You pick the starting 11. Like,
it depends.
It's an enticing offer depending on the level of who you're getting, obviously.
Well, it also depends on what you mean by GM, right? So Craig Weibel was GM over the last 2 years, but mm-hmm. his role drastically changed. Many clubs across the world, the coach is the GM.
Yeah, I mean, I think in Major League Soccer, you see it with like SKC is the big example. It's not all very common.
All the big coach places, they're basically the GMs. Like if I make my decisions who I'm signing.
Yeah, I think that's actually like I look at like Seattle and you have Garth Lagerway who's the GM obviously, and you've right. got Brian Schmetzer
so
who's the coach.
I didn't understand this part. I did not know that you're literally breaking news as far as I'm concerned. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I was trying to stay away from as much as possible news over the last week. So you're saying the offer that you are hearing about for Jason Kreis is to be a GM slash coach?
Yeah,
at the
kind
same
of.
Time?
Yeah, it's not offer. It is they're interviewing him for that combined role. I think it's how they're bringing him in. I think if it was just the head coach position, I don't think he'd be interested. Honestly,
really?
Yeah,
he's coaching the under 23 right now.
And he's doing super well with them. He's got leeway. He's building himself back up. Like, he hasn't been, you know, super successful since his tenure at RSL.
He hasn't been successful at all. That's my only drawback.
Right. So, it's, yeah, he would, it would, it is widely being reported that it would be a combined GM head coach. And GM in what Craig Weibel's role was at the end of his time, where it's, you are in charge of the roster, you are in charge of personnel, you're not in charge of
the business
of
the
making
marketing.
Money. Right. There's a whole business operation side that takes care of that. You are in charge of the soccer that is being played on the field from player signings.
I think a head coach should have that ability and capability anyways.
Yeah, I just think that's pretty rare in the league. Yeah.
Which is weird.
I disagree with what you're saying, but yeah.
I think a head coach should be able to make his or her own roster.
I think head coach gives you recommendations and what he's looking for and the type of skill set. But ultimately in a league like the MLS, you have to have somebody where that's their full-time job because you have to you have to keep that minutia in place.
I think,
TAM, GAM, DP, international. It's
yes.
it's a little much.
So that's where I think assistants come in place.
Right.
So if you have a good enough head coach who can also double as GM on the personnel side, you can also, you can do that and hire a couple of assistants, and that is their job, keeping track of the TAMs and the PAMs and the SAMs and the FLAMs and whatever. I mean, that's literally it. And also assistant coaches. I mean, in most professional soccer clubs, the actual assistant coaches do more work than the
yeah,
head
like
coach.
The trainings and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's what's also
so
been kind of being reported.
So it's not like their days are taken up by...
No. It wouldn't be like a time thing. It is a delineation of responsibilities, ultimately. And there are talks of, like, you know, what would that mean for, like, a Freddy? Some people think, because Jason does have his guys, like a lot of coaches, he's got a couple of dudes that kind of where he goes tend to follow. People are saying, it could be a situation where Freddie ends up being bumped back down, goes somewhere else, is asked to leave.
Yeah. I think Freddie would get a job in the MLS.
Right. Or, and this is my personal like best case scenario, Freddie becomes like the head trainer guy. He's the dude that's running the practices, you know, working with the players, doing the drills, kind of discussing a little bit of tactics, and Jason's, you know, more of the brains behind the operation. If it were to go down that way, I personally have all kinds of questions that need to be answered first.
Yeah, because it doesn't sound healthy.
So, I think I've said this to you before. I tend to visit the old Colorado blogs and such every once in a while to see how they're doing.
You love that wave. What's it called? Burgundy Wave?
Burgundy Wave.
Yeah, you love
those guys. I like to pop over, and I don't comment. I don't troll. I don't have an account there. I just want to read what is their worldview, right? So their final game of the season was against LAFC.
They had a chance to make the playoffs.
And they mathematically had a chance to make the playoffs. Keep in mind, it was like they had to beat LAFC. Two other teams had to, like, lose. And, like, one team had to lose by, like, a goal difference of, like, four or something.
RSL and 09, basically.
Yeah, but yeah, even crazier, right? It was, it was like, mathematically, it was almost impossible. And so, you know, they're starting the kind of summary of the LAFC game they've lost since. And I forget the exact language, but the opening line was like, you know, Colorado had the close opportunity to make the playoffs. Right? That, like, that's, that was like the opening line of the whole piece. And I sat to myself and I'm like, I remember like literally like thinking this, like I was coaching myself through this. And it was, I think RSL is going to have some bad days ahead of it, like next year. I think things are going to be rough. And I told myself, no matter how bad things get, don't ever be that level of delusional. Don't ever think that you actually had a chance to make the playoffs when things like that went down. I'm all for hope. Hope dies last.
Right.
It's my personal mantra. I don't ever want us to be that group. And hiring somebody like a Jason, who I love, if Colorado comes out tomorrow and is like, hey, Pablo's coming back to coach us back to our glory years, we would make so much fun of them. I love Jason. Jason left on about as good a note as a man can with this organization. Don't tarnish that legacy. We have an opportunity here. Let's not squander it. It feels like a junior move. And it worries me that we're even considering it.
There's one thing about your whole statement I agree with, because it's logical, and the rest is, I mean, to call it BS is understating or
don't hate.
So let me say it this way. You and I, i.e. us, RSL Nation,
we
Scarf
and you,
Life, will never be the kind of group who's like hyping up the team. Are we?
You and I are. I mean, every once in a while, I like say
but
things.
But we believe it.
Right. But here's the thing. I genuinely think this dude believed that like Colorado actually had a chance to make the playoffs. Like, that's the problem. Like, I want
to
be my own sanity check.
You have to remember where they came from. 5 weeks earlier or so?
Bottom of the barrel?
I mean, beyond bottom of the barrel. Like, there was zero chance. I mean, mathematical, yes. Mathematically speaking, every but, like, two teams in the entire league had
right,
a chance to make the
chance.
Playoffs.
Yep.
But it was not even it was a laughter of even the chance that them. I mean, remember how many times did we write off SKC, and then they keep coming back.
Right.
So, yeah, I don't think you and I are cheerleaders. No, we'll ever be cheerleaders. Now, here's something you're I think misunderstood on Jason Kreis. And this would be a more realistic and believable argument if it wasn't for the last two jobs he had prior to the job he has now, which is with the U.S. national under-23s,
yeah. Youth teams.
Which is, he might actually be good at his job, right?
I mean,
so when people walk away from something and they're like, walked away at the top,
right?
That is to believe that you could not have done better, that you cannot do better. What we have to understand about people like Jason Kreis is that couple of things. First of all, the job pays pretty good, probably. So you're more willing to take the risks.
Pay helps.
Yes. Secondly, there might be three here, but secondly, you might be... I thought he was released from NYCFC way too prematurely. He walked into that situation. Same with Orlando. Similar with Orlando. He walked into a brand new team.
Right.
You cannot take a brand new team unless you're spending the kind of money that LAFC or Atlanta is spending.
I mean, NYCFC was splashing cash just incorrectly. Keep in mind, this was like NYCFC, the Perlow
years.
So
this is why Jason Kreis might want to have the controls over splashing the cash.
Right.
We have seen Jason Kreis play. When did Jason Kreis sign a veteran that cost $6 million here?
Right. If there's one thing I vehemently believe is that the man has an unbelievable eye for raw talent.
So you know what that means. If Jason Kreis is that guy, that's going to be our GM or coach or both next year.
Right.
You're right. We're in for a couple of bad years. Because Jason Kreis, in that case, starts building a team for 3 years from now.
Right. And I guess I hadn't, to be totally honest, I hadn't thought of that. Yeah, that's actually, he is a long-term builder. He's a guy you build a future with.
And we would have never let him go. He would have stayed forever.
Yeah, it was a money thing, you know, NYCFC, European connections.
I think he had some opportunities to go overseas, afterwards.
DLH wasn't giving him the kind of money he was asking for.
But long term, he would have made probably more money if he just stayed here and had all the strings. I mean, once your freaking name is on the rafters,
yeah, you
can literally go like 4 or 5 years of like doing nothing and still be around.
But I think if we're honest, that's not true. Because think about it. Like, here's the thing. He absolutely has a bit of leeway.
We kept Jeff Cassar around for like 3 years.
We did, but you and I were... And here's the thing. Let's also acknowledge, if it was just up to you and I, Jeff Cassar would have been fired long before he actually was.
Right. So, he would have never gotten hired.
Well, no. The hire, I understood. I got it.
Really? In the offseason, it's the perfect time to make a change.
As an organization, we are avid fans of promoting from within, making the hire from within, keeping it in the family, for lack of a better word. I understood why we did it. I don't know if it was the guy I would have picked personally, but I get it.
At the first press conference, I was like, this is not our guy.
Really? I don't think I had that level of foresight.
Number one conference. It wasn't what he said. It's how the energy. He said it.
Yeah, he was a lovable goofball.
Yeah. And I want my coach to be an asshole that everyone's afraid of.
Right. So you train harder.
Like Petke.
Right. But also, like, and when I say the legacy of Jason Kreis, like, it goes a long way. He has credit in the trust bank. Like, you know, he can take a couple L's before I start asking questions.
Yep.
But it doesn't last forever. And it's not like the Loy Hansen going like, oh, I'm going to fire. That's not my concern. It's getting to a state where like the fans have turned on him. That would be heartbreaking. And that,
I don't think that would happen.
I think you underestimate RSL Nation's ability to be cynical.
No, I don't. No. I've learned a lot about RSL Nation this year. And we're going to cover, I think, some of this in depth during our recap show at some point.
Right.
RSL Nation is... The only thing RSL Nation is united on is the success and love of Real Salt Lake.
But even in that, we believe looks differently
from
supporters group to supporters group.
From seat to seat in many cases.
Right.
So, no, I would not say that there's a single... That is the identity of RSL Nation.
Lack of identity?
No, there is an identity. The identity is like... We disagree in just about everything else. But let me say it this way. Let's just say there are 3 concerts playing in Salt Lake City tonight. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about, take the 17,000 to 20,000 people who are regularly at Rio Tinto Stadium.
It's, right? I mean, it's closer to like 15 to 17 these days, but yeah, I get what you're saying.
15 was like probably the lowest of the whole year. So our average is well north of 17 this year.
I don't think you're right, but okay, keep going.
But there's actual numbers in this.
We'll look it up later.
Let's say there's, how do I say, I'm going to try to say this without like sounding like a jerk, but there's like 3 concerts playing at Salt Lake City tonight. Okay. One's like Ted Nugent.
Okay.
The other one is a comedy show by Bill Maher.
Okay.
And the third is...
These are all hypothetical, by the way, RSL Nation.
Well, yeah. And the third is, I don't know, give me a hipster band. What's a hipster band?
Right? Hipster? Hipster like popular now?
Kids in like the late 20s will pay a lot of money to go see.
Dude, I don't know. Okay. RSL Nation.
Billie Eilish or Eilish, whatever.
Billie Eilish?
Yes. That, whatever.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I like her, by the way. All right. What's the chances that more than... 1/3 of RSL Nation shows up to one of those events? and not like one third. I hate how you
phrase that question.
What I'm trying to say is like outside of RSL.
Okay.
RSL Nation.
Okay.
Is not united. We have we have different political beliefs. We
right.
Have different
religious beliefs. Right. We have different interests, different sectors.
Drastically and significantly different.
There's so many easier ways to say that than creating three weird, fake, very specific scenarios that appeal to various demographics.
It did walk you through. So let me ask you
this
question.
We're an hour plus in, and that's what you're doing. Let me ask you this question.
So the question is, there's those three concerts playing tonight. Billie Eilish.
I remember. Okay, you don't have to rephrase them.
Bill Maher or Ted Nugent. Which one are you going to?
I'm not going to any of them.
You have to go to one.
Is there an RSL game?
There isn't. That's the whole point. Which one are you going to?
I don't know. Probably the Bill Maher comedy show? Are tickets free? Like, what's...
That's what I thought.
What does that have to do with anything?
That is what I thought. And I'll bet you 2/3 of RSL Nation would disagree with you and say, I'm going to one of the other two.
Okay.
The only thing we have in common is Real Salt Lake. I don't remember exactly how we got to this topic.
That was the dumbest thing. Said a lot of dumb stuff over the course of this year. But that one, this like weird, hyper-specific scenario of three concerts and shows that appeal to various demographics.
To make a point.
Right, but here's how I make that point in a fraction of the time. RSL Nation, there's a demographic that goes to church on Sundays. There's a demographic that votes liberal. There's a demographic that votes Republican. There's a demographic that doesn't vote. There's a demographic that isn't old enough to vote. There's a demographic that drinks. There's a demographic that doesn't drink.
Yeah.
Boom. Various stages of life and beliefs and color and creed and all that stuff. RSL Nation is diverse. There you go. That's how you say that.
You know what?
English. Learn it.
You know what third of RSL Nation would say that?
The third that's at the Bill Maher concert with me, I guess. I don't know.
Yes. Thank you.
Anyway.
RSL Nation has been fun.
No. We have one more topic.
This
will be fast.
All right. You got 3 minutes. Go.
I mean, it's kind of an important one.
Yeah, go.
Pretty sure Bofo's gone.
Can we talk about that next week?
You want to talk about Bofo? He might be gone next week.
Yeah, that's what we talk about.
Here's why I think he's gone. I'm just going to give RSL Nation, for those of you that haven't seen it. He's been very active on his Instagram lately.
This is the Bill Maher concert goer.
Dude, it's a big deal. Like, the kid was arguably one of the future, like, talismans of the club. Like, it's worth discussing the fact that he's actively alienating half the fan base. So, dude.
He's not.
Dude, no, I mean, he's starting to piss folks off.
Go ahead.
Dude hops on his IG. You know, he's got a picture of himself.
Instagram, it's not that long of a name.
All right, take it easy, you know, Billie Eilish, whatever her name is.
Eilish.
Anyway, dude's got a suitcase, and he's boarding a plane, and, you know, like, it's like, you know, indicative of like, hey, I'm going somewhere. Ochoa, our young goalie, comments on that going, hey, bro, I'm going to miss you. It's like, all right, maybe he's just going to miss him for the winter or something. You know, I don't know what it is, but he's missing him. All right, cool. A little while later, he's doing a post of him running. Like, he's on a treadmill, and, like, the camera is of his, like, feet. In the corner, he's got a little plane emoji and then two Spanish flags. Just, like, chilling in the corner. Mm-hmm.
He's not Spanish.
No, he is not from Spain. He does not
so
have
he's
any...
he's vacationing in España.
That could be it. A little while later, he's in his kitchen. He's just standing there. It's like a selfie. And the caption across his shirt, you know, that he like typed up was #free. And then like the most recent post, I want to actually read it because it is kind of long and I think the language matters. I'm going to pull it up real quick.
Yeah.
It was, let me get it straight from the horse's mouth, as they say. So it's him, like it's an action shot of like him, like I think celebrating a goal, and the caption goes, "Patiently waited, I'm done talking." Mm-hmm. Dude's gone.
Yeah.
That's a bummer.
Huge bummer.
Yeah. Anyway, RSL Nation, just wanted to bring that to your attention in case you weren't aware. I know.
Yeah, but what, are you blaming him?
I'm not blaming him for, like, leaving. Like, he's got to do what's good for his career. this whole like passive aggressive, I'm gonna post stuff on Instagram. Like, I get it. He's a kid. You know, he is.
No, this is no.
That's not that is not how an adult conducts business.
This is where we
not how an adult conducts business.
He is conducting this the way he conducts himself on the field. He's the guy who gets under guys' skins. And get some yellows and get some people mad at him. And he's the jackass we like having because he's ours.
Right. Right. But right now, he's directing that jackassness, for lack of a better word, at us.
You get what you what do you think? Is he going to turn it off going the other way?
If absolutely. Absolutely.
If I was him, I would be extremely pissed. Actually, I'm not him and I'm extremely pissed. We have absolutely wasted an incredible talent on the bench for the second half of this year. The fact that Corey Baird, and I keep barking on this, Corey Baird is not fit to shine Bofo's shoes, in my opinion.
Okay, that's a little extreme.
No, it is not. Because,
it's a little extreme.
Because Corey Baird is not number two option after Bofo. Plata would be number two option after Bofo, right? Mm-hmm. And then maybe Corey Baird. And if we get interchangeable with the number nine,
Albert.
Sam Johnson. No, Sam Johnson, because Albert could play a different position.
Okay, I'm not going to get into that.
There's no way in my mind, either Plata, yet alone Corey Baird.
Mm. Right, should be sitting pine.
Should be starting and playing a minute of soccer for Real Salt Lake with Bofo, who, by the way, I think has done the most of his opportunities, has made the most of his opportunities while he's played this
year. A little reckless with some of his choices on the field.
That is the position where you're okay being reckless.
Well, if there's a better pass, find the better pass.
Right, but if there is a position on the field where you can be reckless, that is that.
Sure.
He also had a couple of freaking
It's the one where you get least punished for being reckless.
He had a couple of golazos. Also, being that reckless and taking shots from everywhere means defenders are closing in on you, which means your counter or co-offensive players are getting open. Bofo, I love you, baby. I hope you stick around. I hope you only stick around if you're going to start. I think there would be no chance in hell he's not a starter and a regular if a Jason Christ type is heading up the team next year, in part because he's playing for him.
Sure.
For the under, 23s right now? One of the youth teams for the national team, right?
Yeah.
Bofo Sucedo being let this, I think this comes back and bites us the way that Toronto FC letting Plata go beat them.
Sure.
Because for the following 3-4 years, freaking world beater, and they couldn't figure out how to start him. Bofo Sucedo sitting on the bench while in this case specifically. And I like the kid. I just don't think he's good enough to do that. Corey Baird is starting is a crime. There should be a way to press legal charges in the third district court in Salt Lake County to get this done with.
Here's the thing. Bofo's obviously a world-class talent, or he will be.
He is.
I mean,
he
I think
is a world-class
he's a little,
talent.
Yeah, he's a little raw. There is... You know, this weird little rumor that's floating around of. So it's widely believed that Bofo's contract up in December, like officially. That one of the reasons he wasn't getting regular time at the end of the season is that he wasn't signing a new contract.
That is stupid by coach who's an interim.
Okay, think about this.
Who thought that through?
Think about this.
Yeah.
You start playing this dude. He starts tearing it up.
Uh-huh.
He's going to ask for more money. Maybe you just don't have more money. That is a thing.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, he's walking. How do you think the rest of RSL Nation feels?
If I'm an interim coach who has a prayer that I might have a full-time job as head coach next year, I'm playing the best players. I don't care what their contracts say.
Right, until your boss tells you can't play the guy.
Well, then screw that. Then I'm glad that Craig Weibel is gone.
Craig Weibel was already gone by then.
I would like to say that this is an incredibly stupid suggestion to make that that might have happened.
Not at all.
But then Javi Moe happened a few years
I was
going to
say
in Seattle.
Totally see it happening. Craig Weibel would already have been gone by this point.
Yeah.
So that if anyone's making that suggestion, it's a DLH.
Well, then you know what? Good for you, Bofo. Because in this case, if you're that shackled to something... First of all, look, people who are paid a lot of money to recruit players.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just say you're like a European second division Spanish team.
Okay.
And you're looking as an option, Bofo Sucedo. If you're swayed by that guy's performance over the last two or three games.
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
You're not freaking good at your job.
Right, right. You got to look at the whole season. Right. Yeah, that's fair. That's a good point.
Not just the whole season, but like the body of work.
Sure.
Where, you know, yeah, the whole nine yards. So
he did do a little loan time in Mexico.
I mean, ugh. I really, 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 really hope for our best sake that we keep Bofo Sucedo around, because I think for the money, he is... I can't remember what he's making.
Well, you can't say for the money anymore, because the money's over.
What was he making last year?
I think less than $100,000 because he was on a homegrown.
Okay, so quadruple that.
I think it's more than quadruple.
Well, okay, quadruple that, but you're still getting a freebie.
Sure.
He's really, really good at his job. I have said this many times over the years. Bofo could be our next DP-level player. That is it.
Yeah, I agree. He could be. I just think it's very unlikely that he gets that.
Well,
good.
Yeah, with the current environment.
No, just in general. I think the kid's good. I think you're blinded by love.
No.
A little bit.
Well, you think I don't like Corey Baird? I love Corey Baird. I love Sam Johnson. I love
Bofo's good. He's not DP level good yet. And I don't think he will.
He's not. That's why I said next. I don't think he deserves DP level money next year.
Right. I would need amazing growth to even consider
but
that.
But he has to play. Because from what I saw from Bofo on the field this year,
mm-hmm,
I saw amazing growth.
Okay. Jefferson Severino. Obviously a DP level winger, right?
Yeah.
Obviously.
The best player we have on the pitch.
So he is 100%.
Yes.
He's there. He is it.
Bofo could be a Severino.
But where is he right now?
He's 80%.
80%?
Yeah.
You're saying Bofo is 0.8% or 0.8 out of 1 as good as Jefferson?
Yes.
Dude, you've been drinking the Kool-Aid pretty hard. You should be the kid's agent.
Which way?
Huh?
Which way? Because I think 0.8 is conservative.
Dude, 80%.
I think Severino is a more skilled player. I think Bofo.
No, I'm saying finished product, full package.
Well,
everything, foot skills, pace, shots on goal.
If you look at FIFA, it is at the end of the day a finished product. But what I'm saying is the finished product is 0.8. You're correct. But if you break it down, there are areas in which Bofo is significantly, I think, better than Severino.
See, I can't think of a single category where Bofo is better.
I think he's a better shooter.
Disagree.
It's okay to disagree, but you're wrong.
No, dude.
I think he's a better shooter.
You're not giving Jefferson credit.
I think he's got really good instinct.
Here's the problem.
I think he's quicker on the ball.
Okay, that one I'll give you. I think he's quicker on the ball. I'll give you that. He's definitely not a better shooter. You're thinking of that one shot in Seattle where he curled the ball and got the upper 90, and it was amazing, but that was also the exception. He wasn't doing that every week.
Well, he wasn't playing every week.
He was playing a lot. He has yet to do that again, whereas Jefferson scores really beautiful goals pretty frequently.
I really don't care about the beauty of the goals. What I'm saying is...
shooting ability.
When
on frame with power.
Let's do a soft skill analysis on this. When Bofo touches the ball on the left side going forward, I feel like anything is possible.
I feel that way when Jefferson gets the ball on the right.
Yeah, thank you. I agree.
Just more confident that something's going
to
happen.
Yes, because you're comparing to Jefferson.
Right, with Bofo, I don't think something's going to happen.
But when Corey Baird touches the ball on the left, I'm thinking best case scenario, he holds it up and passes it back to the midfield.
See, my thing is Baird is going to whip it in. Anyway, we've gone at length about this. We obviously have very strong feelings about Bofo's future with RSL. We do hope he sticks around.
Why'd you bring this up?
Because it's a very interesting topic, and I think RSL Nation
and
needs to hear about it.
Keep talking about it, yes, but not right now.
And we will discuss it at length as more things come through. I do expect that sometime. I honestly think today's Wednesday.
Yeah.
Tonight is Wednesday, I should say. We're gonna post this tonight. So Thursday is Halloween. Happy Halloween, RSL Nation. I think by Friday, we have the clubs release some players. Because No. We'll keep it spread out. We'll keep them to about one a week.
I'm gone next week.
All right. Well, we'll keep it to about one every 2 weeks. But yeah, they usually do it like a week or so after the season ends and our season ended. Yeah. So I think we can expect some news.
So what sooner we're saying rather than later. Is this. This was our last kind of season.
Mm-hmm.
Not a season recap, but just a
regular format, long form Scarf Life episode.
And we'll have more fun going forward.
Yeah, right, there's going to be a bunch of weird shows.
And tell you what, you know what we're going to do this off season? Is make a pledge to keep our podcasts to up to 1 hour.
Yeah, I mean, probably not. I'm not prepared to sign that pledge just to get ahead of you.
I'm going
to
edit it.
Okay, that's terrifying because you're just going to edit out all the good parts, i.e. my parts.
So we might also release the full.
No, we're definitely just releasing the full.
The director's.
Here's the thing. No, dude, you're talking. I know. I understand this. We do this every year. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. We don't. We've got a thing that semi-works. We talk footy. Sometimes we talk about footy for a little too long because we don't have lives. RSL Nation, feel free to fast forward if we're boring you. We loves you.
RSL Nation, it's been fun. Thank you so much. Adios.